Hey everyone, welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. This is a broadcast of SPED Homeschool. We are a nonprofit and we provide this broadcast just as an encouragement, a teaching tool, and a way to connect homeschoolers just with each other. And this month we are celebrating SPED Homeschool Awareness Month. We're celebrating our 2-year birthday. And we're excited that we've had this community for 2 years. And so we're highlighting stories from our community of different types of families that homeschool children with special needs. And Debbie Carlo is with us tonight. Welcome, Debbie. And thank you for taking time out of your just a different life is what you call it, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. And we also want to thank our sponsor for this broadcast. This episode is sponsored by Kirkwood Educational Online, and I will tell you more about their product later on. But we just want to thank them for sponsoring this episode and just their continued support of parents who are looking for alternatives that work at the pace of their child and schooling options. So thank you, Kirkwood Education Online, for that sponsorship. So we're gonna just dive in to our topic tonight, which is a lot, which your family is a lot. So we're talking large family, special needs, adoption, and homeschooling, and how you do it.
So a little bit about myself. Mm-hmm. I am the mother of 18 children. My husband and I have 5 biological children, and then we went on to adopt 13 children over the years. Awesome. So we currently have 7 children in the home, and then we have some adults in the home as well, but we have 7 that are currently still children, and those are the ones that we're homeschooling.
Okay. Yeah. I think I watched on your, so Debbie has a YouTube channel and it's called Just a Different Life. And you kind of cover a broad range of things, just about everyday life. And I love that you give the reality of, you know, this is what it's like, but there's so much joy in those videos. Yeah.
We try to show what life's like with multiple special needs and still be positive and encouraging so that other people can see that you can still have happy time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. There's a lot of happy time. And
yes.
I know with my own family too, that, you know, it's that way. You focus on what people can do, and
yes,
then you accentuate that.
And I think when they work together, then they are compensating for each other's challenges. So then you don't notice quite so much any one particular challenge, because everybody just kind of steps in and circles around whatever needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. And teach us so much compassion as well when you have so many different dynamics going on in your home, and when you live with each other, you notice those things, and it's great that the kids can notice them too. It's what I definitely noticed from your videos is that.
Yes.
And I also love you. You just have to check out Debbie's channel. I'm going to pull up just what it looks like. It's let's see if I can configure this better. Here we go. But a large family vlog. It's definitely a just daily in and out living of what you're going through. And it looks like seizures are unfortunately the topic of choice as of late. You want to talk a little bit about that?
So our 7 youngest, they are actually full biological siblings, and all 7 of them have a seizure disorder, plus multiple other learning challenges. So 4 of them have autism.
Five of
the 7 have a chromosome deletion, and it's all kind of overlapping in layers. It's not like one particular set has all these challenges. It's a mixture.
Right.
And unfortunately, right now, we're going through a lot of seizures, and we don't understand why, and the doctors don't understand why, but that's just part of our life. And that's actually the health concerns and the medical needs is one of the reasons that we decided to homeschool because when we went to start our son into school, he had some significant needs. He wasn't able to talk. He was still in diapers. He had a lot of health issues. And the school, when we took him to public school, they said, "Well, that's okay, but we're going to use his funding to help other people and to help the library program." And we said, "Well, but he needs help." And they said, "Yeah, but we need the money to go other places, and you don't really have a choice." And having been through the public school with their other children, we had done many years of advocating and fighting for supports. And at this point, we felt that this was too big of a concern to spend all our time fighting. So that's when we decided to look into homeschooling.
Definitely. It allows you to work around all of those medical issues, and to incorporate them into your life, because otherwise, I don't know about in your area. Debbie's in Canada,
Yes.
BC, but I know I'm in Texas, and truancy laws are really bad. And so when children have medical conditions, you're almost fighting a battle to not have to pay fees when your child is not in school, which is insane. But
That's it.
yeah.
Fortunately, we don't have that here, but we didn't want them to, if you have a seizure and then you're not feeling well, then they would send you home and you wouldn't be able to come back to public school until you had a note from the doctor to say that the child was okay. But when you're having multiple seizures a day, they could miss most of the year. Whereas when they're homeschooled, they can have their seizure, they can rest a little bit, and then they can get back to the day. So it's actually providing more school hours for the children by being at home.
In a much more relaxed environment where you're probably not going to see as many seizures because you don't have as many things that are going to influence that,
Yes.
those things happening. And just I saw you interviewing your kids just about the episodes and what they're afraid of. And
Yes.
seizures are difficult because you just don't know when they're going to come on. And if you're in a safe place at home instead of in a school hallway or, other places where injuries can happen much more easily, that
Yep.
definitely is a factor.
And I think as they get older, there's more risk for injuries because when they're toddlers and they have a seizure, they're that much closer to the ground and
So true.
they're not doing this many high risk things. But when you're looking at a teenager like my daughter, she's wanting to climb ladders and do construction and stuff. And that's a risk because if she has a seizure, she's could get seriously hurt.
Definitely. There, homeschooling just leads to so many things, and I'm sure as a larger family, you've seen the dynamics of how difficult that probably is to manage, but yet the positives on the other side of what you don't have to do if you're taking them all to school.
Yes. So it is a lot of work to take them to school and have all those phone calls if so and so needs to come home. Having had all the other children that did go to public school, I have seen both sides of that. And one thing that's different here in British Columbia when you're homeschooling, you can still access the special needs funding that the public school would access. So we have education assistants come into our home to help with teaching the children. And
That's really nice.
some people might think, well, that makes your job really easy, but it's still a lot of work for me because that means I have all those adults that I need to work on making sure that they're teaching what we're wanting the kids taught. And I'm still there for the medical needs for the children. So it is still a lot of work. It's not the I'm sitting at the table teaching seven children, but I am making sure that all the staff is working with the kids and getting their needs met.
You're managing. That's a
Yes.
lot of management. I know my parents started homeschooling after I did because they watched what happened in my house with my oldest, who was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And having so many adopted siblings, they just said, that just looks so much better. And then they started homeschooling too, and definitely for a lot of the same reasons that you do. And it's it's encouraging because yeah, you do have to manage it and manage it well. But again, you have to develop a team. I think
Yes.
that's what we're talking is we talk more with different people from our community. It's you can't do this alone. And do you have anything more to share about
We
just how you get
for
help
building
and
our team for building our team, we also have included our occupational therapist and a speech therapist and a physical therapist, and we have them all come into our home. So it's part of the kids' school day. So during their school day, they might be working with their education assistant, or it might be their time for physical therapy, and they go off to a different room and then they work with that individual. And it's so scheduled out. It's like a typical, kind of looks like a typical day for a public school where they have different blocks. And they're working with the different individuals, and the individuals are trained so that they can manage children with special needs and recognize that the child's overwhelmed or not able to do something, and they can use a little bit of discretion as to what the child needs at that time. And it really is about building a team around the children
Well,
and
because they
being.
get to know your children, and have you had people for multiple years that have worked with you, or
Yes,
do they
we.
tend to change?
It does change a bit because education assistant is an entry level type job where we live, but we do have some that have been here for a few years, and then it's not like the whole team changes, so that makes a huge difference because we already have that set up and the new people are coming into an already existing setup, so that is very helpful.
So it's not a complete turnover. That's
Yes.
nice for you because you're not training everybody on how this
No,
all
because it
works.
gets because those times and it's really overwhelming because there's so many people and they're not all working in one room doing the same task. They're spread out throughout the house so that everybody's needs are met and they have some quiet, distraction-free environments.
Yeah, definitely. If you are watching too, I want you to let you know that if you put comments in the feed, we'll be able to see them, our questions, and we can have Debbie answer those as we go along. So this is kind of interactive. If you're here with us live, if you're watching recorded, sorry. You'll have to come to the next show and definitely check out Debbie's YouTube channel, Just a Different Life. And so as what made this was the switch to homeschooling pretty much a quick one, or was it a slow one? What kind of led to that decision as you looked at, was it, the older, you saw the older kids in the public school and just this isn't going to work, or was there something that kind of tipped you over the edge? Because I know a lot of people are sitting at this time of year and going, really think maybe I should do this, but I'm not sure. And so what was your experience?
So for us, when we were enrolling Dean into kindergarten and we were told that his needs weren't going to get met, we thought it would be best to homeschool him and his sister that's not quite a year older than him because of the age, that it would be best to have her on the same schedule. So we decided that we would homeschool the two of them, and then the other siblings were preschool age. So we started with Dean and Cheyenne at that point didn't qualify for the special education funding. So it was myself schooling her, and then we had someone schooling Dean. And then as the years progressed, each child that was following, because they all had significant special needs, they all joined in. And then we had three teenagers who were in the public school system with special needs, and they were struggling with the social parts of the schooling because the three of them were diagnosed with are diagnosed with FAS, fetal alcohol.
Very
So
common.
they, yeah, they decided that they wanted to come and homeschool. So it quickly grew from the two on the first year to, at one point, we were homeschooling 10 of them. With the help of the education assistant and the therapist and everybody involved.
And
I just
I
want to
think so
make
a
sure
lot of
people
families do that is they make that progressive change is they start with the child that they feel this is the one who needs it the most, or the two children, and then they move gradually to kind of get their feet underneath them and then add in as they feel necessary. And
And I
it's
would highly recommend that because it could be very overwhelming.
definitely, especially if you try to do it without a team or even having a team set up and just say, we're just gonna dive into this. Definitely. It is a lot of work, and it's something you have to get your feet underneath you to do. So yeah, because you've got a lot of other things. I mean, you're planning the rest of your household, and then you've got
Yes.
medical needs on top of that, so you have doctor's appointments and medications and all of that other stuff. How do you corral all that?
So one thing that I found really helpful is we have one business day a week that is our appointment day. So
Good advice.
every Tuesday is appointment day. And it's very rare that we don't have an appointment, but those days, if we don't have an appointment, that's a free day. So we don't do school on those days. We don't have anybody coming to the home. Those are our days that we go to appointments. And by scheduling it that way, it's made a world of difference so that it's not like, okay, we have six others that need to do school, and how are we going to get to our appointment? And we live in a very rural area. So any appointment is at the minimum a 45-minute drive, but some of them are up to a 2-hour drive. So that's each way. So it makes it hard to get back for the others. So that's made the world of difference for us. And the other thing that we did with our schooling is when we started, we focused on the language arts and the math. And once we got those under control, then we added the other things, but we
Love
worked on the
that.
two basics because our thought was if they can read and if they can do math, they can learn anything.
Exactly.
So that was our focus. And even when the kids are having bad health days, we focus on the basics, and then the extra stuff can be added on the good times.
Right. Yes. And just watching your videos, I see you focusing so much on life skills and relationships. And I was talking with a friend just the other day who she's works with dyslexic students. She goes, I think homeschooling parents have forgotten that that is what we need to do most. And the education stuff, we fit in. And
Yes.
but just we sometimes lose it when we talk so much about subjects. And that relationship, that bonus time we have with our kids is just so important to form them. And yeah, I just love how you draw your kids out with questions and really understand what they're thinking. I think we tend to just think what our kids think and assume instead of asking. And you do such a good job of asking questions. I want to encourage parents to watch your channel and just watch how Debbie interviews her kids because it is very heartwarming to me just to see you interact that way.
Thank you. I find because they have so many speech difficulties that a lot of people just will speak for them and you're not actually getting what they have to say. So I really encourage them to try and get them to speak up for themselves and advocate for themselves because a lot of people don't give them the time to use the words that they have.
And yeah, I think I saw one of your sons. He was giving his medical information or his birth date and that at the doctor's office. And what a good place to practice those types of skills. Self-advocacy is something that kids can learn from a very young age. You just allow them to answer instead of answering for them.
Funny story, we've always taught self-advocacy, and a couple of our biological children, they really mastered that skill. And the principal of the public school would be like, oh no, here they come again. Because any problem they had, they were very good at advocating for them or for their siblings. And he did not appreciate that type of. But they always did it in a respectful manner, and I'm glad they did because now, as adults, they're very good at standing up for themselves and they're very successful in what they do. And I think it's really helped them to be who they've become.
Definitely. Yeah. And well, we all have issues. I mean, and I know I've even, told my oldest when he was in college, he's had professors that have come after him. I said, well, then you just need to go back and say, this is the truth. This is what's going on. And yeah, but they do have to learn to stand on their own feet eventually because mom won't be there all the time.
Yeah.
So.
And with special needs, it takes so much longer to learn. So I want my children to start practicing at as young of age as possible because I know it's going to take them a very long time to learn.
Definitely. And having the speech and the words that are understandable to other people. It does take. And fortunately, they can practice with their siblings
Yes.
with a lot of that. And if you're going to so many doctor's offices, that is definitely a good place to try out those things. So, in your years of homeschooling, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned along the way?
Patience, because the best laid plans don't always work.
So
So,
true.
yeah, so I've learned patience, and that's a huge one because you just never know with so many people and the dynamics, you just never know what's going to happen. So, kind of going with the flow is a very important, and having a plan and having a goal, but being able to say, today, that's not going to work. Let's just try something different. So I think that flexibility is very important as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's a lot of give on mom's side
Yes.
from what we want to hold on to.
Yes.
I think those are probably some of the greatest lessons I've learned as well. Yeah.
And trying differently. If something's not working, being able to come at things from a different angle and maybe stepping back and then retrying and revisiting something if the learning is a struggle. I know my daughter for her math, we've stepped back and we've taken another run and we've done it a few different ways. And then it just happened that someone was over and was showing her something and she's like, wow, it finally makes sense. And we've been trying all different ways and just not giving up and being open to looking at different ideas, it has made the world of difference for us.
Yeah, and to not push it to the point where you frustrate your child, and and yeah, and just but just keeping plodding along, and
Yes.
that's a very fine line to walk, isn't it?
Yes. And
Yeah.
enjoying yourself. I think it's really important
Oh,
for everybody to enjoy what they're doing. And if you don't have that joy, then it's going to make it a terrible experience for everybody. So trying to find the joy in what you're doing is very important.
I agree. It's what keeps everybody on the same playing field with this is the purpose of what we're doing, not just as plow through and not notice the people around us, but it's that community. It's the sharing of the experience more than anything else. Definitely. So, we were going to talk, I guess, a little bit about, adoption as well and homeschooling, and I guess that kind of all mixes in for you and what you said is had started your journey. But we're going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, and then we'll come back with Debbie, and we're going to talk a little bit more about just homeschooling, large family, adoption, special needs, all of that, all rolled up in one, and what a beautiful package it is. So we'll be back in just a moment. So I'd like to introduce Kirkwood Educational Online. If you're a busy homeschool mom, you'll want to check out Kirkwood Education Online. For only a dollar a day, you get a full homeschool curriculum that allows your children to work independently and learn at their own pace with engaging online lessons. Parents, you will appreciate the automatic scoring and the student records. It's easy to set up and easy to use. Printable workbooks are also available for download at no additional cost, and parents can also have the option to purchase printed workbooks with free shipping. Kirkwood Education Online believes that you, as a parent, are the best judge of your child's learning style and particular needs and strives to give you control of your child's learning schedule and subject assignments. You can start your 30-day free trial at kirkwoodeducationonline.com. And we want to thank Kirkwood Education Online for sponsoring this broadcast, and you can find out more about them on their website. So thank you. And we are going to bring Debbie back, and I'm going to pop up here as well. All right. So as we dive into our second half of the hour, I want to touch a little bit on differences and similarities. Canada really doesn't have very different homeschooling laws than the United States. And I've been to some leadership conferences with Canadian leaders and those from HSLDA Canada. And so it sounds like it's a pretty similar law to what the United States is. But have you noticed anything like in the BC area that it makes it easier, you think, or more difficult to homeschool?
I don't really know the laws in the different areas. I know that when you're homeschooling in British Columbia, there is different ways of becoming a homeschooler. So personally, we are homeschooling through a distributed learning school. So that means that we have a principal and teachers that oversee everything. And then we have the funding as well for the special needs education assistance and any other special needs supplies that they may need. And the teachers that oversee us, they actually write the report cards, and the kids have an education plan. And so it's like a public school in that manner, but you're doing it at home with the support of a school overseeing you. There is also the ones where you can homeschool and just kind of do more what you have, whatever you want to do. But we are following the BC curriculum for our children.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And having said that, better because you've got a team that's kind of in place. And if it works, it's nice to have that support.
It is nice to have that support and having that team and having that guidance if you need it as to when your child isn't meeting the goals of the BC curriculum, and the guidance of what you could be doing to try and help them. I find that's truly helpful.
What is the law as far as if you're in the process of adoption? Can you homeschool in Canada?
I believe you can homeschool through a distributed learning school. So then you have the school overseeing. I'm not sure if you can just be an unregistered homeschooler. I have a feeling that you can't do that when you're in the process of adopting.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I know every state in the United States is different on that law. So it could even be by your province instead of just the full Canadian law too.
Yep. Because when you're adopting, the kids aren't officially yours until they've done that pre-placement period in your home. So all those decisions aren't necessarily your own when the child's been placed for adoption.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's sometimes a difficult transition time anyways, especially for the child and trying to keep them their environment as stable as possible and all of that. So it's complicated, I'm sure. You know, just individual by individual child usually is again how you
Yes.
handled that, like you did with all of yours, is
Yes.
a case by case scenario. Definitely. So I loved the quote you and your husband were answering questions about what people should not say to
Yes.
adoptive parents. I
Yes.
think I've heard the same thing said to either, you know, me as a sibling or to my parents. But as my siblings were being adopted, I was already out of the house, and so I, you know, I'm kind of the older sister that never lived at home as far as they're concerned. But the one thing that I said, there's more positives that far outweigh the negatives. And I thought that is, it's so true. You've got to focus on the positives. How do you keep yourself focused on what's positive, especially during those times, you know, when right now you're dealing with seizures and unknowns and just staying on that side.
We really try to, we want the children to have more positive memories than the negative. So we really make sure that we are doing as many positive things as we can, just so that when they look back, we want them, the positive things to outweigh all of the negatives. My dad, he used to have, when he was younger, he went to so many medical appointments, and he told me the story that his mom always took him out somewhere fun when he had to go to all these appointments, like the bigger special appointments. And we do the same thing with our children. We make it a fun day so that it's not, okay, we're going to another appointment. We really emphasize trying to take the time, and that helps by having the scheduled day for our doctor's appointments. So it's a day. So it's not like, okay, we got to rush back because this has got to happen. We're taking the time. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Time it is, and we are so rushed and so overscheduled that we don't leave time for those
Yeah.
positives and that joy. That is such a good point. I love that. Yeah, it to dedicate the day
Yes.
to those types of things. I saw your kids, they were excited about donuts. They
Yes.
gotta come to Texas. There's donuts everywhere here. My kids were amazed when we moved to Texas. They're like, there's a donut shop. Where would we
Wow.
go? But yeah.
Well, I just
So
want them to have something to look forward to when you say, "Well, you don't get to eat because you're going for blood work." Let's make it something to look forward to. Not that they just get to eat donuts, but just something to look forward to.
And you even go camping. Okay, I've
Yes.
got to say, this is quite impressive. I saw your setup.
Yes.
I go camping when I used to, with three kids, and it was a lot, but you've got everything sorted and everybody's got their bikes, and it's quite an operation. So have you always camped as a
We have
family?
always camped, and then when we adopted the seven, we had stopped for a while, and then my husband and I were talking and said, you know, if we don't do this, we're never gonna, like, if we don't take the effort and put the effort in, we're never gonna go camping again. So we made a concerted effort that we are going to camp. And we're going to make it work. That the kids can have a seizure at home, or they can have a seizure in the trailer. We're going to make it work. So our last camping trip, to get all the bikes there, because three of them are
The
in
three wheels, right?
large tricycles. We actually had to bring a second vehicle to carry those bikes, because one of those tricycles, it's huge, and we have a bus, so we actually had it on the bus to get it up there. But we were going to be there for 2 weeks, and it was close enough to home that we decided that's That's the one thing that our son looks forward to. I get to go camping and ride my bike on the road because he can't ride on the road where we live. So
Right.
that was what was important to him. So we made it work.
Yeah, I love that. I think we tell parents to set goals for their kids,
Yes.
but setting goals for your family
Yes,
on
I think.
what's more important.
Because if you don't, I think you're going to miss out on those things. There might be simple things, but if you don't dedicate the time, especially having special needs children, if you don't dedicate the time for doing the fun things that you want to do as a family, you're not going to do them. Everything, life's going to get in the way.
It does. It goes by too fast, and you have to make a dedicated effort to do that. And sometimes things that you think are important have to get put aside. Or like you said, the unknowns. What if? You just have to set them aside. What if isn't true? And just live. And that's, yeah.
And our last camping trip, we landed up with the flu, which triggered a lot more seizures. But you talk to the kids, they don't remember the flu and they don't remember the seizures, but they remember riding their bikes and they remember the campfire. So if that's what they're going to remember, let's focus on those things.
Yes, that is so true. Yeah, what ends up as the joy, the memories.
Yes.
That is what's most important. And those are the lessons, like you said, they will remember. And those are the ones that form the foundation of who your children become.
Yes.
Not the math and the reading and all those other things that just happen.
Yeah.
It's
And
so
they're
true.
still doing those things because one of the kids' favorite things to do is lie in bed in the trailer reading their books in the morning. And they talk about doing that from camp, like when camping season ends and they're thinking about it for the next year. Oh, I can't wait till we read this. And mom's going to lie in bed and read to us. And it's easier to read to them when you're all in the same trailer. You can have everybody's there. So, and those are the things that make their day.
So what are your some of your favorite stories that you've read to your kids?
We had done a tour through BC and we had got the Canadian Flyer books, which they're factual information about history, but they're written as a story for the children. We were reading those while we traveled and then we went to the different places. So
Oh, that's cool.
there was one about Sam Steele and his time in history, so we read about that, and then we went to the place, the village that. Sorry, I went blank there. We went to the village, and we saw that part in history, and where the last spike was put, and for the Canadian Railway, we went there. So we read the stories as we traveled, and finding those stories as we traveled and then going to the places meant so much to the kids. And they
Sure.
probably learned more on that trip than the whole year of school.
I know. Yes, it happens.
But it was just like we would read our bedtime stories and then we'd go to those places. And it was simple enough because their cognitive skills are very low, so it was simple enough for them, but it was teaching them a little bit.
Yeah. It's a little bit goes such a long ways, and I think we sometimes forget that we think we need more and more and more information, and yet if we teach it right through
Yes.
experience, we can make it the mileage with
Yeah. And we got a lot of mileage on that trip for their learning. And then they came back and they were able to tell all their teachers everything they had learned. And I was in awe at how much they actually learned.
And remembered,
Yeah.
and as definitely, and to be able to re-articulate that to someone else such a long time afterwards, you know, you really get a better understanding of where your kids, you know, their processing ability and
Yes.
by something like that than just reading them a story and asking them to regurgitate it to you.
Well, my daughter Lorelai, she can't spell her name half of the time, but she was able to give all kinds of facts about the things that we had done and the places we had seen. And I'm like, you can remember all this, but you can't spell your name. We were at the doctor's and they asked her her last name and she can't remember. But she remembered all the things on the trip. So that part was truly amazing.
I think it brings us back to experiences, especially when you have children that struggle, are so much more important part of the educational process because you will learn stuff about your children and some of the abilities you will not see when you have a pencil and paper and, you know, all those school things.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a great big elaborate experience. It can be a very simple experience, like lying in bed and reading a story and then going to visit a place and just wandering around and reading different signs with people and looking at things. And that was enough to make some of the things that she was able to remember.
And you do a lot of like hands-on type of things with your kids too. I saw some gardening and some other things. What have you kind of incorporated in as daily life into your homeschool?
So the kids have chores each morning. When we get up, we get dressed and they have different chores. And one could be vacuuming, one could be taking the dogs out, one could be feeding the cats. One's job is just to count the spoons out because that's where she's at. So finding a job that's something that's meaningful to the family, that no matter how simple it is. So we start with that. Then we all have breakfast. And then during their school, they do a lot of cooking. Sometimes we'll do a lunch for everybody that's the staff and all the kids that are here. So the kids will make a big lunch with everybody. So we do a lot of cooking. We've started doing a lot of gardening just to get them out doing different things. One daughter, she really likes doing construction, so she's been doing repairs and stuff with her dad, and she likes learning that way, so she's been doing a lot of those kind of things. So just a variety of things. I have an adult son that's a automotive mechanic, and the kids will work with him and he'll be teaching them. So just things around the house, just including them and trying to get them to experience different things.
Just whatever happens that they can be part of. I think sometimes we automatically will exclude some of our kids because we think they may not enjoy this or this just isn't, you know, and there's their ability yet. But I know a couple of my siblings, you know, they just want to get in there and do it. Anything that they can do, you know, even in a wheelchair, just if they can be close by, if they can hand you things, if, you know, they just want to be part of the experience. And I love what you said. It's a value to the family.
Yes.
And I think everybody, we need to realize there is a value. And I had a couple of my siblings were profoundly disabled. And I've had five pass away, actually. And my
Sorry.
mom said at one point, she goes, you know, Nick didn't do a whole lot physically, but the difference he made in people's lives was important.
Yes.
It made an impact. And, you know, if we can see that, you know, whatever gift that that child has to our family, it's a value, and to value that as well.
And I think they want to feel valued. Like they want to know that they're important in the family. So they need to be able to contribute in whatever way works for them.
And it may take you a little while to figure that out. But I love that. Spoons, You can do spoons, and it is an important thing. You got breakfast. You need a
Yeah.
spoon to eat.
And all the skills involved in counting out the right number and then setting the table, putting them all in the right place, that she's learning a lot of skills while she's doing that, and
I
she's
guess.
happy and so excited. I did the spoons. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So we have about 10 minutes left here, and so I kind of want to just wrap up with what is your, we've had a lot of really good advice already, but is there anything that you really want to share with families, just as far as encouragement if they're feeling discouraged, just where they're at, if they're homeschooling yet, or maybe just thinking I'm just not the right type of person for this, or just any kind of encouragement that you could provide parents.
I'd like to, if you feel drawn to homeschooling, I would recommend that you do it. But make sure that you get a team around you, even if that team's just to encourage you and to support you while you're doing the job. Maybe it's people to help with the teaching itself, but have people around you. Find other people that are homeschooling so you have some like-minded support so that you don't feel like you're doing it alone. Make sure that you have bring people on board so that you're not feeling alone. And then when you're having those exceptional bad days, you have someone to reach out to because everybody's going to have some of those bad days. So by having that support system, you have someone to reach out to. I know for a fact, like having so many children with special needs, some people, well, you signed on to this. Well, I did sign on to it, but that doesn't mean that I don't have bad days. I still need some encouragement, and everybody needs some encouragement. So find your team around you so that you have that encouragement. And the number one thing I would say is enjoy what you're doing. Find the joy and make sure that you are enjoying what you're doing because if you're unhappy, it's going to rub off on everybody.
Yes, exactly. And it will tear your relationships apart in your family if you can't find joy and help everyone else find joy too.
Yes.
That's some really good advice, because I think just in general, we focus on the negatives, and it's so easy to get into that trap. And sometimes you need those people on the outside that are willing to come in. I know we used to live on a farm, and when we had our three and then foster children as well, I had a friend that came out and just took pictures and
Wow.
photographs, and I said I didn't see how beautiful my place was because I was so focused on the issues we were dealing with. And so to be able to have somebody come in, even with a different perspective, even if they're a photographer, whatever gift they have, to be able to share with you that this is the beauty in your life, to
Yes.
be able to speak into that.
And everybody's got some beauty in their life. They just have to focus on that and try and make that the number one, and the other things can come in second place.
Even when you have, the different medical issues that, you're going through right now, you got to watch Debbie's videos. So I'm going to pull up your YouTube channel again, and just let everybody know that Debbie's YouTube channel is just, it's called Just a Different Life, and it's every day in and out what you do, but the way you focus the camera, the questions you ask, the topic, the way you sum up the topic, it's always on the positive. And so if you're even struggling to find the positive, watch some of their videos. It's just going to encourage you to continue doing the same, I think. So do you edit all those videos yourself, or do you have a child that likes to do that, or
I do the editing. The kids kind of, they do tell me what different things that they want to highlight and what they want, what they have in mind. Currently, we're working on it's Gotcha Day anniversary for a couple of our children this week. So they're wanting to do a video on their adoption and the fact that it's a 10-year anniversary. So they've told me what they want to focus on and the message that they want portrayed. So we're working on that video together. So they do tell me they have input as to what they want shared. And we do share a lot of the medical things because I believe that a lot of people don't know what's involved in the different medical procedures. And because we have so many going on, we found it's helpful for people to see what actually is involved so that it makes it a little bit less scary for other people.
Right, especially kids. I think kids would really connect with your videos because your kids are talking. It's not just like a parent, saying this is what's happening to the child. They're you're interviewing them in the process. What do you feel like? What's kind of scared you? And that perspective to be able to, as a child, going in and saying, oh, this is other people go through this too. I think a lot of times we get siloed into, especially our children, when they don't see other children. I mean, they probably see them if they're in the doctor's office, but they don't talk to them about their procedure or things like that. And to just make it more normal, I guess. And
And it's helped for our children because a lot of them have the same tests done at different times, so they can look back and say, okay, well, here's so and so got the test done and it doesn't look that bad. And we do try to we don't show the really bad parts. We have shown the seizures because I think it's of value to people to see what seizures look like because they can look so different. So we do show what a seizure looks like, but we try to limit the other parts where the children are very emotionally upset at whatever's happening. We do try to limit that part on our channel because we want to focus on the positive.
I mean, I even heard you make the comment that, to get blood, it had took multiple people to hold your child down, and I had a son that was like that too, and it was traumatizing to me. But to hear you were so calm about it, and I was like, I don't think I was
Well, that was actually a step up because he used to have to be sedated to get blood work. They've taken him
oh,
to the operating room to sedate him before they could do blood work. So having
wow.
four pe extra people hold him down was actually a step up for us.
Oh, and that's the reality. That's the reality of life. And that's the reality for a lot of our parents' lives too. And just thank you for normalizing that, because it I don't then that's kind of the reason why we're doing these videos this month with special needs and homeschooling. We hear a lot of things about homeschoolers whose children graduate at, what, age 10 and graduate college at the same time. And it's like, yeah, well, that's the reality for very few people, and they get a lot of press. But our families live very different lives. And I remember going to homeschool conferences and leaving in tears, saying, is there anybody else who has a life like mine? And that my children may not graduate like everyone else's children. And is that okay?
Yeah, and then so many curriculums you're working on them, and they pass your children by the third lesson. And no matter how slow you try to do it, you can't keep up. You've got to be creative because we're still working on kindergarten levels for some of my children. Some are at a preschool level, but you still want them to learn, and you still want them doing things. So being creative is a huge part.
Yeah, that's why we started doing these videos, because I think a couple conferences ago, my team was at a conference, and she said, every time somebody came up, they said, here's my child's diagnosis, what curriculum do I buy? And she's like, almost started laughing. She's like, it really depends. It depends, and then you start asking them questions, and it's like, it would be wonderful if there was a set diagnosis and here's your curriculum, off you go. But as I interviewed one expert, he said there's 70% of kids that you could give any curriculum to, and they're fine. You have the other 30%.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
And our kids don't fit in a box, and neither does their curriculum.
Right, exactly. So we just and I love what you said earlier about just being creative and taking it one step at a time. Focus on the basics, and the rest will just come. And if they have that math and that reading, they can't learn anything. We live in a society where you don't have to memorize tons of facts. We can find all the facts we need.
Yeah.
Just need to know how to think.
Well,
And
I know for us, for printing practice, it is our personal information. That's what the kids work on for their printing practice, because the ones that don't have the very high abilities, their printing practice is their personal information. What's your name? What's your birth date? So then they're able to go and practice those when they go for their appointments.
Right, exactly. That's the most important thing they're filling out on a regular basis.
Yes.
Definitely. Yep. It's making those lessons meaningful. And
Yes.
you're doing a very good job of that, Debbie. I'm just
Thank you.
I fell in love with your family. So
That's crazy, as
So the next time
it
I'm up by BC, my brother just lives on the south side of the border in the US. So, yeah.
Well, if you ever come this far.
Yes. All right. Well, we just want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule, and definitely check out Debbie's YouTube channel, Just a Different Life on YouTube. And we'll be replaying this video on our YouTube channel as well, which is Sped Homeschool. And this has been Sped Homeschool Conversations. So thanks for joining me, Debbie. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, I'll tell you this before we pop off, but when we end the show, unfortunately, this beta version will kick you off and I won't be able to say goodbye after the video
Okay.
stops. So it's been a bummer. I'm hoping they fix it soon because I always love chatting with my guests afterwards. So, but it has been a pleasure, and I just thank you for sharing your heart and your family with us. It means a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you to everybody who's watched. I really appreciated this interview.
Yeah, we appreciate you and just all that you're doing. You're making an impact beyond your family, and it shows. So, and thank you all of you for joining us. I'm going to let Debbie go. And I just want to thank you for joining us on this episode. And we are going to be back again next week with another. We're still focusing on sped homeschool awareness for one more week. And our interview is going to be with Cynthia Herron. And we're going to talk about her story and how she says how our family embraced challenges and created a new normal. So we're going to talk about that next week. But thanks again for joining us. And thank you to our sponsor, which is Kirkwood Education Online. And you can check them out at kirkwoodeducationonline.com. And just they had said that there's a 30-day trial. So if you go to their website, you can get that trial started, or check out just their curriculum and see if it might be a good fit for next year for you. So thanks everybody, and we will see you again, same place, same time, for Sped Homeschool Conversations again next week. Bye everybody.